Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Wayday starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your car.
Every style, every home.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Trying to get by Benning. Darnell Nurse left it in the corner. Gets up center. Perry! Scoops! Corey Perry!
Well, you're able to shake away from Solani. It's given away to Solani. Around the front.
Oh, are we live? Is Stephen here? are we showing up like the ducks for the game today? I wasn't sure if we were going to podcast because I don't know if we actually saw any hockey play tonight. I don't know what else to say. That was a tough go tonight. Really tough. But welcome to the for everybody post game show. Everybody, Ducks fall to the Minnesota Wild 3-1. Wow, that was quite the game. I don't really know where to start on this. Steven, usually we have like a quip to talk about right off the top where we could have something to kind of bounce around here. But, man, that was a tough go. That was a real tough go tonight.
Yeah, that was I mean, to me, it kind of just really feels a game that brought everybody back down to earth because they kind of wanted to feel better about the team. And we played the Sharks and the Kings. And I mentioned this to Eddie before the show that I thought it was really interesting that like technically the Wild are at the bottom of the division, but they are very clearly either fourth or fifth in the division, depending on how you feel about Arizona.
Yeah. They're not that good. They're really not that good.
But they're, but I think the thing for them is that's the team, right, where you look at it and you go, there's enough talent there that if they get, if you get the power play running, because they have, like, I think they're tied with us for the lowest total of power play goals with, like, two.
But they have a worse power play.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's because they generate more chances, so their percentage drops. Whereas the Ducks don't do anything to generate chances. So they have the same number of goals, but nothing good. You know, so it's, I don't know, man. I don't even know.
Well, yeah. let's go into things we do know about what happened in this game. One, we have that lack of finishing ability. And what's really interesting prior to tonight's game, I don't know if you saw Dallas Aiken's comments about he's been looking at analytics and seeing how we're getting the scoring chances, just not having that finishing touch, which is something that's just has been this recurring theme for a long time now in this organization. At first, it was we need to find a winger to play with Getzlaf because there's, you know, they have no one up there on the right wing. And then they finally get Raquel in, and then that kind of just gets mixed around. We lose Kessler. You go year by year, all the old guys start falling off this team, and the new guys start getting injected into the lineup. And we have a lot of hope, right? Like, we think these kids coming in, they could be strong middle six players. Well, now we're at the point where the middle six guys, as we've been talking about now for weeks, are being pushed into positions to be the main focus of this team offensively, and they really just can't carry the bag. Like, it's just, it's really that. That's the answer I'm seeing here, is that they're getting their chances, but we just don't have those guys to finish.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think this is something we've talked about all year, is that just at the end of the day, the Ducks suffer from a lack of elite talent. You know, either someone who can create easy goals, or someone who can just finish at a really high level. And we don't have either of those. You know, I think.
But you really only need one of those guys on this team to give the break to the kids, right? Like, it's tough putting these middle sixers out on top line minutes or be rearranged with guys that aren't used to playing on a constant basis to get any sort of rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, if Raquel is still a 30 goal guy, I think that feels different. You know, if Silverberg's closer to 25 than 15, I think it feels different. But I just think, you know, at the end of the day, what you're looking at is, you said it exactly right. You know, it's a bunch of middle six guys on a team where the guys who are, we could at least go, those are top line guys, they're old. And the guys who are young and up and coming either haven't developed into a high-end player. I don't think we should expect any of them to be, but there's always, you know, the outside chance that somebody comes good in a way we weren't expecting. But beyond that, it's just a lot of good guys. Like, they're just fine. They're good. You know, and they have a place on a competitive team, but this isn't a competitive team. And when, you know, like you said, you have guys in positions that to perform at a level they're just not capable of for one reason or another right now. And the trickle-down effect from that is just overwhelming.
So what have you seen, given the circumstances on this team that we just kind of described? In your mind, there's no way Ricard Raquel could be this bad at shooting the puck. I mean, he's shooting like sub 2%, right? There's, to me, another guy offensively that hasn't looked anywhere near to what we've seen in the past either is Jakob Silfverberg. Another guy we're not seeing scoring goals. Even when people say, like, he's got the shot, he takes the shot, he has that look, he's not putting it where he usually does. You know, up under the bar, up high, he's not, even when he has the chances, he's not finishing there. So even the guys that we have expected, those guys aren't necessarily old. Ricard Raquel and Jakob Silfverberg, you know, on the downside of 25, sure, but or 27 now, I think they're closer to 30, but they're not over the hill like Getz. So what do you attribute to that? Do you think it's kind of like a line combination thing, or maybe it's just not their season?
I think it's a number of things. I think part of it is just that, you know, shooting is really fluky. You know, that's why, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why PDO is such a useful stat, is because what it does is basically accounts for luck. You know, and it's hard. You know, I don't know. I think part of it is that
it's some of these guys. It's a hard question to answer, right? That's a tough one.
I think some I think some of the guys just aren't finishing at a level that we kind of expect for them to do. But again, I also think some of it is the ice time is pretty even. And I just think that while you look at the roster and you go, yeah, it's going to take a group effort to get across the line, the fact is that that kind of egalitarian approach just isn't working. And, you know, he kind of – Eakin seems to want to ride the hot hand every night, but it's just there are no hot hands. So what he ends up doing is classic coach shit and falling back on effort. And so the fourth line ends up on the ice more than other people in situations that maybe you don't want him out there. You know, I think at a certain point, you know, like the expected goals thing is interesting because it does highlight the degree to which it is somewhat of a lack of finishing. But at the same time, I think it also shows that the team isn't generating easy chances, right? Because they're not generating opportunities that feel, you know, 4 out of 5 are goals. They're generating chances where you're like 1 out of 5 are goals, or you need a great shot, or, you know, you literally need someone to fall down on the other team for the opportunity to create itself. And so I think we're seeing just kind of the limitations of the roster mixed with what could potentially be the limitations of Dallas Eakins as a coach.
Yeah, and so this game tonight is basically what a lot of this season could look like going forward, unless there's some sort of major change. But that major change is going to be requiring to get rid of assets that you need to build. So are we secretly on Team Tank? And that's why they said it's a retool. Like, it's we don't want to say tank, but it's very curious. They haven't brought in any help. I mean, Kevin Shattenkirk doesn't move the needle. And there's no doubt in my mind these people in management aren't idiots. It's not like they thought he was going to come in here and score 50 points for the Ducks. Like, it's a marginal move. And well, now we're without probably Hampus Lindholm for some point in time, at least a game or two, it would seem. He missed the third period. Let's hope it's not much. And now we're out of Manson. So, Team Tank, are we back?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, I've been on that the whole time. Like, I don't think there's any reason for this team to be thinking it's competitive. I think the best thing this team can do is accept that they're not going to be good, play as many of their young guys as they can, and see if you can get some of those, you know, early season rookie year kind of jitters out in a year that doesn't matter. You know, and then hopefully, you know, you get a good pick and you get someone who in a year or two can make a difference or something like that. You know, maybe at the end of the year, you bring up a couple of more of the kids from San Diego, like, you know, Drysdale or Zegras or, you know, maybe even Perot or someone like that, and just kind of see where it gets you. But at this point, there's no reason to think that the situation's really any different than it's been the last 2 years, which is this team should be looking to move guys out.
So,
you know,
you kind of want to jump in. Let's have some fun tonight, because if we sit here and talk about this game and what we don't like about the team, that's going to be a hard thing for anybody who's listening to us tomorrow to have to digest, especially if they watch the game tonight. Then they got to come on and turn on this and listen to us drone about 30 minutes where there was, I think, how many shots on goal do the Ducks have tonight? Like 14? I don't remember what the final count was. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I think it was like 9 after 2 periods.
And by the way, shout out in the chat for people recognizing that I'm Silent Bob. Jason is my best friend, and we have dressed up as Jay and Silent Bob for Halloween before, and that's also one of my favorite movie characters of all time. So I appreciate that comment there. That's good.
I love, by the way, that Kevin Smith said he became Silent Bob because he thought he was only going to get to make one movie, and he said, fuck it, I'm going to be in it. I love it so much.
Because he didn't want to talk. Yeah, he just didn't want to have any words. He's not going to say much, right?
Yeah.
I think I got the Silent Bob comments that makes out the damn hat backwards, but it is what it is. I like it.
The beer doesn't hurt.
No, it's true. Let's see. So let's oh, there we go. Someone's putting... Thanks to Eddie for putting Kevin Smith over me. That's awesome. I wish my hair grew like his. I'd be a much happier guy if my hair was not receding.
You gotta get that comb to our flow, man.
Oh, I wish, man. The guy's got the best head of lettuce of all time on the Ducks, it would seem like to me. It's beautiful. Where do you want to start with the Getzlaf talk? Where do you want to start with that?
I mean, the Getzlaf thing is interesting, right? Because you could look at if he wants, if he's
willing. Didn't you say you wanted to talk about this too? I know that that was a thing.
Yeah, I think the Getzlaf stuff is really interesting because I think there are a couple of teams that make a lot of sense as far as things he could look for. And I think, you know, honestly, in a lot of ways of all the years, this might be one of the better years to move him because of the divisional play. You know, like, I, honestly, like, if I'm Bob Murray, I'm sitting down and I'm asking him, I go, look, are you willing to go to Vegas?
I mean, because Jason on the show on Monday vehemently said that Getz isn't going anywhere, despite what I would say about it. I agree with you. But I mean, he was like, no, Getz has made it a known point. I'm not leaving. I have to waive my no trade. I have no desire to go leave and win somewhere else. I'm going to finish my career as a career duck. But in my opinion, I think what you're leaning at is kind of what I was going to say is, why not leave at the trade deadline and then come back as a free agent?
Yeah, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, I have a lot of respect for Getzlaf's commitment to the franchise. You know, like, it's going to sound silly, but, like, I remember when he was named captain and, like, they talked to him about it and it was something that really mattered to him, right? He really wanted that role. Like, he's always kind of been that guy. And I've, you know, he's like my favorite player in Ducks history. So I've always had a real appreciation for him just as the way that he kind of tries to go about his business and being a leader on the
team. In all of Ducks history, Ryan Getzlaf's your favorite player?
Yeah.
Wow.
When I was a kid, my favorite player was Solani. But, you know, he's my guy because, you know, he was drafted by the team, which makes a difference for me. And I just think the stuff with Paul kind of ended like a sour taste. So it's just a little hard. But I just think it's an interesting thing. Like, I 100% respect that he has earned the right to say, I'm not going anywhere. But I don't think it's ridiculous to ask him and go, do you want to go to Vegas? It's a, you know, 3-hour, 4-hour drive, whatever it is from Orange County. And you're only going to be playing local teams, so it doesn't really hurt his family in a way that maybe it would elsewhere, right? Like if he got shipped to Boston or something like that.
So if he were to go to Vegas, I'm gonna park on that one real quick, and then we got to get to something in the chat before we lose it, and then we'll come back to the trades. But who do you take from Vegas, realistically? I mean, obviously we know who we would all want, but in that deal, what do you see being a realistic, you know, give back to Anaheim? I mean, it can't be much. It gets off on an expiring deal.
Yeah, no, it's, I think what you're looking at is, you know, probably a lottery protected pick. And I would ask for Peyton Krebs. I know he's a player that Anaheim liked and Anaheim wanted to trade up the year they took Zegras. They wanted to package their, what ended up becoming Braden Tracy and their second pick and their second rounder to move up and take Krebs. And they had a deal in place, but Vegas got to him first. You know, I think the salary cap thing is the salary cap thing. The Ducks can retain up to 50%, and there's like the whole weird rolling daily cap stuff. But to me, the reason that they make the most sense is they don't have a first-line center. That team is almost entirely powered by wings. You know, William Karlsson has come down to earth and has settled into a really good second-line center.
You don't like Chandler Stephenson?
He seems like a nice fella. I don't know that if you have, what, 30-year-old Max Pacioretty and 30-year-old Mark Stone, that Chandler Stephenson's the guy you want to park your bus on. You know, and I just think having someone like Getzlaf who either they can put between Stone and Pacioretty or put on a separate line and feel like they have a real true second anchor, I think that's huge, you know, and I think Peyton Krebs is an interesting player. I think a lottery protected first makes a lot of sense. And I think that's probably what you're looking for. You know, maybe you take, you know, a bottom six player or something like that, just as kind of a, you know, just as kind of a guy, just to be like, give us somebody.
I mean, Getz would be more successful there, and people in the chat are kind of shitting on it. But what they don't understand is that Getz in a center role with wingers like that could be very successful. Right. Yeah. There's a big reason why Ryan Getzlaf on this team is not very, you know, good looking play wise. I mean, Troy Terry and Adam Henrique aren't necessarily killers when it comes to finding the back of the net. And I could definitely shit on Troy Terry a lot here, and then you and I would get into a long conversation about why you still like him, but maybe that's a conversation for another show. But yeah, I think Getz would be very successful there. And I think that I think a lot of teams would have a lot of interest in his leadership ability, because say what you want about it. I know I've talked a lot of crap on leadership qualities and what those actually bring, the intangible parts to a team. But teams like that. They like to know, have like a big voice in the room that could calm a group down. So I don't see why a lot of teams would not be interested in acquiring Ryan Getzlaf.
Yeah, I mean, how much did we hear, you know, last year about the benefit that Dallas felt having Perry in the room added? And I know I've heard from Claude Julien that he's felt that Perry has added, you know, he's added value to that locker room with some of the younger players on that team. You know, and I love Paris, but I think we can all say that Ryan Getzlaf is definitely more of a presence.
What is Eddie doing to our podcast tonight? What is he? If you guys, okay, anyone listening tomorrow, you need to go back and watch our Twitch channel for this, because Ed's been screwing with our lower third for the entire show.
I just found it. That's fantastic. But yeah, somebody in the chat said it. Alberta teams make a lot of sense. Yeah, I think also Calgary and Edmonton make a lot of sense too. I don't think that's out of line. I think, you know, Calgary is your best bet.
Can you imagine you inject him into the Battle of Alberta? How nasty Getz still likes to be.
Yeah, dude, it would be, he would go insane, because he would have so much of the pressure taken off of him coming into the locker room, like coming into a new team, that he would just, oh, he would drive people up a wall, and it would be the best. I would love it so much.
That would be rad.
Like, him and Matt Tkachuk on a line together would personally fill my heart with joy. Because that's like 200 penalty minutes a night on their own, and I would be so happy.
So let's kind of shift gears just for a second and go back to the youngsters on the Ducks. So they were talking about on the chat here with Lindholm, the possibility of Lindholm being hurt for any amount of time is definitely going to open the doors for somebody to come in and fill that role. We saw that Andy Walensky got put on the taxi squad. Was he put on the taxi squad? I think that's what the case was. Do you think we'd see Drysdale come up instead? Do you see him? I can't imagine they bring him into this shit show.
I don't think they will. I think that they're going to bring up Zegras before they bring up Drysdale. And I don't think they're bringing up Zegras anytime soon, unfortunately. You know, so I think you're looking at Walensky. I don't know how far away Gouley is from being healthy. You've got Mahura.
I totally forgot that kid was on the team.
No, Gouley?
Yeah, I liked him too.
Yeah. He's got, you know, he's a good skater. He makes a decent pass. Like, he's, you get why he was drafted. You get why Anaheim, you know, targeted him in a trade. He just hasn't been able to put it all together at all consistently. So I don't think Drysdale comes up. I think, you know, we're going to be getting closer to Manson coming back soon. And, you know.
How long has he been injured? Has he been injured like 2 weeks and he's out six? We have another month?
No.
I think so, dude.
Oh, man. You might. Oh, yeah. Because I think it was 4 to 6, but he might end up coming out early. But, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, but I think as much as Larson looked garbage tonight with that turnover for the first goal.
He almost looked like Kevin Shattenkirk. He was so bad.
Yeah, but he was holding the stick the wrong way. Otherwise, he'd make $4 million a year for no reason. But, I just think there's a lot of other players that they'll plug into the lineup before they bring up Drysdale. I think they're going to like – and I don't disagree. I just I think there's going to be a lot of value for letting him just kind of run rampant in – the AHL and just kind of letting him run people over. Like, I don't mean like he's not that kind of player physically, but
no.
As far as his level of play, you know, he's a guy who's been doing a really good job.
Now let's talk about the fun tweet that one of my favorite podcast hosts, one of my favorite Twitter follows, at least for me, because he's such a bastard. Every time that he will retweet people just to clown them, even people who are legit in the industry. But Ryan Lambert had a tweet today talking about trading straight up for Jack Eichel with Jeff Skinner. He said, well, why? A team that's not so good with a large prospect pool and needs to inject some score to the lineup. Gee, why wouldn't Anaheim do this? Essentially is what he said. I don't have the tweet in front of me.
Yeah.
But that's something that made me laugh, because I would find a way to make that trade happen. Would you not?
I wrote a whole article about the Ducks should make a trade for Jack Eichel at the beginning of the year. I said they had the pieces to make an Eichel deal worth it. You know, they've got Dylan Cousins in Buffalo, and if you can put Dylan Cousins and Trevor Zegras together, either as a 1-2 center, or, you know, maybe they do end up, like Eddie has said, move Zegras to the wing. You know, I think that could be a pretty phenomenal young core. And, you know, as long as the Ducks aren't giving up Lindholm or Gibson, I don't know that there's anybody who should be considered off limits, because, you know, Eichel comes into the – he probably walks onto the roster as the best player, even over Gibby.
Well, isn't he by far and away the best player on Buffalo? Like, it just feels like he's –
by a long
He has shot. Nobody there that I feel like is a part of the supporting cast that could help them win. So him wanting out, or the rumor, or if there's any sort of smoke there, there's definitely fire. Like, there's no way he's happy in Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, they brought in Jeff Skinner, and he had one great year, and so, you know, he got that huge contract, and then they brought in Taylor Hall this year, and yeah, that just hasn't gone well.
Yeah, so. I'm looking that up. What the hell has gone on with Taylor Hall this season?
Buffalo's bad. Players who go there end up being bad.
How many goals do you think he has this season in 13 games?
Ooh, two?
He has one goal.
Does he have more than four assists?
He has double that. He has 8 assists, 9 points in 13 games. He's a minus 10, which I know you love the plus minus stat.
Big fan.
But he's got 572 points in 640 games. I would not mind him in Anaheim either. But I would rather take Jack Eichel. I mean, who wouldn't, right? Everybody wants that guy.
Yeah, Jack Eichel's phenomenal. And to some of the points that I know I have made about...
Worst hair in hockey, though, by far.
Oh, come on. He's like Jack Harlow. It's great.
He's got some bad hair. That guy's got some bad hair.
I think, you know, the big benefit for Jack Eichel, like, look, at the end of the day, like, it's Orange County. Like, having an American be the front of the team would be huge. It would give a lot of people an opportunity to be invested in a team that they historically haven't been. I mean, having Bobby Ryan was huge for the team. And Jack Eichel's better than Bobby Ryan.
So in chat they're asking, Nate asked, or said, rather, Gibby for Eichel. Did you do that deal?
I would never do that deal. It's a gift of the Magic. It's ridiculous, because the problem is, you know, you take Jack Eichel on a
what
team.
What did you say?
The gift of the Magi. It's the story. It's a Christmas story.
I know what it is.
But it's true, right? She sells her hair to get him a pocket watch chain. He sells his pocket watch to get her a comb. And now neither of them can use the thing that they just got each other. And it's very funny. And that's how I feel about a Gibby for Eichel trade. What's the point in bringing in a player like Eichel if you're going to get rid of the best thing that you can offer him?
Oh,
which
that's
is
so funny.
Having an elite goaltender behind him.
DB Lowry says in chat, Americans only team, Zegras, Eichel, Gibby, and Fowler. Well, then you can't trade Gibby for Eichel. That doesn't work.
I understand.
Eddie says Eichel and Gibson trade 100 out of 100 times. There's no way that that's an amazing deal. There's got to be more to it.
I just don't see the logic in that trade, because I really do think the point of bringing in a player like Eichel is finally giving a player like Gibby the ability to have guys in front of him who can, you know, score goals. I mean, look, as long as you have John Gibson, like, do any of us...
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy, because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I feel like the team needs to average more than 2.5-3 goals a game.
So here's exactly what how the chat's going to reply to you, right? I'm not looking at it right now, but I know they're going to say, yeah, you do the trade, because then Dostal comes up and plays. We're going to rely on a 21-year-old kid to come up and carry this inept defense. With this offense that we hope is ignited with Zegras and Eichel playing on the same line. Sounds like fun. I'm not really sure if it makes a lot of sense. I guess it just kind of depends on what you value more. Do you value scoring or do you value goaltending at this point?
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Honestly, for me, I really do think it's as simple as talent. Talent is what matters. And if you're going to bring in a player like Jack Eichel, I don't think you want to let a 26-year-old Vezina candidate, quality goaltender, walk out the door. It doesn't make sense. You know, I would be more comfortable giving up Lindholm, and I still think that would be stupid.
But then we have Drysdale, though, Steven. You don't need to have Lindholm. Yeah,
you don't need to have the best fucking defender on the team. That's fine. You just get rid of him. We've got Cam Fowler. What could possibly go wrong?
with Jacob Larson.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ben Hutton.
Yanni Hakanpaa's been great against the Sharks. Why wouldn't that hold up when we get to the playoffs?
Yanni Hakanpaa, that's one guy on the team I can just look at this and be like, I've got nothing bad to say about you, dude.
But that, to me, it fits perfectly with the issue, right? Which is, nobody had expectations for him coming into the year. It was, he looked all right at the end of last season, and, you know, we'll see what kind of happens with him. And then he came into the lineup, and he's been good. I'm not saying he hasn't been good. He's done a really good job. But I wonder how much of people's affinity for him is how little their expectations of him were.
But he hasn't been bad. Looked bad.
He hasn't been bad, but I am not trying to knock him. What I am saying is that I do believe that there is a level of sentiment for him that is based just in the fact that nobody was expecting much of him.
Okay, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we kind of hopped off the topic of Eichel and Gibby, so I want to go back to that and ask you, since you're vehemently saying it's the gift of the Magi. That might be one of my favorite quotes on this podcast, and we've been podcasting a long time. It's I never thought in my life I would hear about that story again. Wasn't it a movie, too? I want to say it was.
Probably was.
I just, that made me laugh. So what's your deal for Jack Eichel? What do you trade, realistically? You have one shot to get him. Yeah. Who are you trading?
Honestly, for me, it starts at Zegras, this year's first rounder, and Ryan Kessler.
Like, there's no...
No. Here's the thing about Ryan Kessler. It's the money thing, and the Pegulas are cheap. And here's the thing about Ryan Kessler's contract. It is insured up to 80%, so the actual payout in salary to the franchise he's on is minimal. So you get a nice, fat $7 million cap hit, and you only have to pay out, I think it's about $3.5 million over the next 2 years. So it's honestly, he's a perfect, Ottawa guy. because he has a huge cap hit and low pay because of the insurance. For me, that's, and you know, if I'm Anaheim, I am trying to push for next year being the first round pick, but I don't think they take it. And you're probably looking at Perreault and maybe Steele or maybe Lundestrom.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but Jack Eichel's really good.
That's a lot, though, man.
Jack Eichel is so good.
But you're giving up basically all of the young assets that everybody here in chat have Eichel play alongside. But the fact of the matter is, like, you would have to give up a gigantic piece. You can't keep Zegras and get Eichel. There's no way.
No way. Unless they absolutely, like, the only way I can see that happening is if they call you and say, we want Drysdale and Dostal. And maybe, but that, here's the thing with that. I don't think that's a value. What I think that would have to be is the organization saying, these are two players we see having value for us down the road.
Possibly two, right? So,
yeah.
A couple of first round picks and a gigantic prospect. And then probably a minor prospect is what you're going to see come off the roster.
Yeah,
that's what you'd have to see. That would be such a tough give, though. Everyone in chat, would you guys trade? Would you guys trade Zegras in a package for Jack Eichel? Let's see how they like that. We'll get back to that one for sure. Let's talk about the San Diego Gulls, because that has been a really exciting team to watch. They play tomorrow. And hopefully, as friend of the show Dave tweeted out before the show, he tweeted at Fox 5 in San Diego and the San Diego Gulls, and then he tagged the Ducks in there saying, can you guys please stream it because it's more exciting? They're 5-0 now. And Dostal has a 950, 6-0. And I think Dostal's faced 40-plus shots a game every game this season.
Yeah.
So that's why they think he can carry the Ducks. What is your feeling on the goals right now, though? I kind of feel like Dostal's kind of carrying the load down there.
I think I feel like a broken record, but I do think what you're seeing with the goals is what we said was the blueprint for a successful Anaheim team this year. You've got Zegras, who's making the power play borderline unstoppable, and you've got a goalie who can stand on his head every game. Between those two things, that's going to get you goals, and those goals are going to be worth more because you're going to win a game with two goals because Dostal has been that good so far. And if the power play is clicking at a high level and then you add on to that, you know, the kind of normal what just happened?
Oh, Eddie's putting stuff up on our Skype.
Skype.
Everyone's making fun of your sniffles too, by the way. Just a heads up.
Yeah, no, I saw. It's fine. That's not new for me. But, you know, I think that's kind of just what it is, you know. And I think, Drysdale's look good. Zegras's look good. Dostal seems to apparently be the second coming of Dominic Hasek, you know. I would be reticent to mess with any of that just because I like that they're playing well down there. And I think them being good at that level is more valuable than them being kind of good at this level and not getting the results.
Yeah, as much fun as it would be to have the kids up in Anaheim, and I know we talked about it a bunch on the show. We've been talking about it all season, about when they're going to get a chance, when they're going to come up. And it's almost like you're either on one side of the fence where they're like, F it, the team sucks anyway, let's just do something fun. And then there's the other side that's like, so you're going to bring these kids up to this dumpster fire and see if they have a good time and can learn anything while they're up here from the pros? Nah, I think that it would make a lot more sense, at least from, I don't want to say it's the correct perspective here, but like, why would you want to bring the kids into that? Unless it's the end of the season. If you're going to bring them up now, it's because things are fun in Anaheim and it makes sense. Things aren't fun in Anaheim. We're not a playoff team. We're not beating teams that we should beat. We're going to bring them up and do what? I don't think Zegras is going to light the world on fire in Anaheim if you bring him up now.
Yeah, no, I I have genuinely been pretty torn about this. I think both of those things make a lot of sense. I can absolutely talk myself into, like I said earlier, bring him up now, let him get that, you know, early career jitters or first year jitters out of the way on a team where the stakes aren't there. So they're going to make whatever mistakes they make, and it really doesn't have an effect on the season as a whole. But I also understand the mental side of it, where you're just like, do we really want to put these kids through the meat grinder so quick? You know, I don't know that it's always worth it. So, you know, I think you have to take the temperature of the room. If, you know, if maybe the Anaheim locker room isn't as down as some of us might feel that it is, maybe it's okay. You know, you can bring them into some positivity. They can be, you know, a little bit of a spark and a little bit of inspiration kind of as far as just injecting some creativity and some energy and some youth into the lineup.
What about Chase DeLeo? That got brought up here in chat too. You think he makes a squad at some point? He got brought up to the taxi squad. I could see it happening that these guys can't figure out how to score goals.
I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that. Like, I would just think that he's going to be down there the whole time. Like, I don't know that Chase DeLeo is ever really going to make the leap. I think he's going to ultimately be a career AHLer, and I think that's awesome for him, and he's been really good. But I just don't think at this point, like, I don't know that he's played too many games in the pros, if at all.
He has, so, just not a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. But, you know, I don't know that there's really any value there.
Like, to really bring anyone to shake the team up, I think we're at a loss of what to do to fix this. I think we've seen just about every line combination in Anaheim, barring bringing up kids from San Diego to fill the roles. And now with Hampus Lindholm possibly hurt, you're looking at probably Andy Walensky coming in and getting some time, and they're gonna shift around the defensive lines. I think maybe the offense was just off tonight compared to how they looked a couple games before. I imagine we see a different team here on Saturday. That's honestly what I would truly feel is going to happen. I think they're probably going to be very embarrassed after playing the way they have the past couple of games where they were in those games. I mean, despite San Jose scoring both our goals, tonight they just didn't look good at all. I can't imagine we see the same Ducks team's effort on Saturday. I think we see a different team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would say the effort was the issue tonight. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I watched that game and I was like, yeah, they don't care. Like, I think...
Not that they didn't care, but, like, there's just no urgency. I didn't feel like, except for when I watched Max Jones skate with a puck. Like, or Comtois. A couple of the young guys look good with a puck. Other than that, I just kind of didn't really see the guys have that push tonight. I don't know. Maybe they're on Team Tank, too.
Oh, I hope so. That would make me feel a lot better, personally. You know, it's a little lonely sometimes being the one driving the tank. So, I don't know. I'm not sure how much I'm expecting. I think, you know, you want to look for individual players to kind of bounce around as far as effort and efficiency. I think Max Jones has looked really good. You know, I think Comtois has been the guy he's been all year, and I think that's good. I think Troy Terry is getting more comfortable. I think Sam Steele is getting more comfortable. I think ultimately, like we talked about at the top of the show, like, it really is a lack of elite talent on this roster that would allow the rest of the roster to be in a position where they're not overwhelmed by the demands being placed on them. To me, the worst thing that Bob Murray has done this year is state at the beginning that the expectations were to playoffs. Be a competitive team.
Yeah, essentially saying the playoffs.
I don't know what value he has. I don't know what value that adds to the team when anybody could objectively look at this roster and say, short of John Gibson winning a Hart Trophy, this team is not making the playoffs.
There's just no way. There's no way. And I had him pegged fourth. If they continue to play like they did tonight, there's just no way. I'd love to see it happen. I just don't see it. Well, one more thing from the chat, too. But it's a good one. Do you think that we see Dallas Aikens fired this season?
This season? No, absolutely not. I don't think think there's any value for him being fired. I don't think you're going to gain anything out of it. I think he, if he's fired, it'll be by either whoever comes in to replace Bob Murray or the Samuelis will tell both of them to be gone.
That could be a possibility. I think the Samuelis, though, have a lot of respect for Bob Murray. I can't imagine them push him out at all. I think he's going to be able to walk away from this franchise when he's ready, unless they just, I don't know. Is he in the last year of his contract? Is this his last hurrah, or does he have one more after this?
Bob Murray?
Yeah.
I think he's got a 1-1. So okay. I think he has technically an executive option or whatever for the next year. There's debate between Travis Green and Jared Gallant going on right now, and I would lean towards Travis Green. I think Jared Gallant is better for a roster with more talent.
What are you saying?
That team sucks. So, I don't know, man. That's just, I don't think Eakins is fired until the offseason.
Even if that's the case, which he might not be.
Right,
he's a victim of roster construction here. Let's not pretend that he was given a gold mine and is fucking it up. That's just not what's happening here.
No, not at all. I don't think so at all. I think the only reason he would be fired is because the franchise wants a complete clean start. And yep. They are absolutely entitled to that, and I think that's totally fair. But I don't think they're going to let Bob Murray fire him.
No.
I think he's fired 3 coaches, technically.
Oh, Carlisle twice.
They're not. Yeah, Carlisle twice and Boudreau, but like they're not giving him another one.
I think we should bring Carlisle back. I think Carlisle would do well with this team. I think it'd be fun.
I'm sorry, I can't. What did you say? I couldn't hear you. There was so much static.
No, I would never want that. I feel like the team played better under Bob Murray when he was on the bench than they are playing right now. We're about at the end, it feels like, of how far we could stretch tonight's game without having to just drone on. That's what I was trying to avoid, although in our pre-show chat, you thought I was just going to be a total shit show coming on here being upset. But I think we avoided that. There's a few questions on Twitter. Then, Dave, I'm not going to answer yours. And Ricky Bradley says, can we please, for the love of all things hockey, bench Kevin Shattenkirk for literally anyone else? Do you still have that sentiment about Kevin Shattenkirk?
I think it's very hard for Dallas Eakins to justify any of his other choices if he's not willing to bench Shattenkirk. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. Like, I don't know how you bench Henrik and not bench Shattenkirk at this point. Like, that Shattenkirk deal somehow. I was so excited when that signed because I was like, yeah, we got a guy who can at least run a power play, and he has been dog shit on the power play.
I don't understand how any of this stuff works. And now a good point in the chat too says that no way Shattenkirk gets benched if Lindy's out.
No. What does it say? What does the comment actually say?
Schadenfreude.
Which is so good. Oh, I might only call him Schadenfreude from now on. That's so good.
Another question comes in. It's from St. George Sports Fan on Twitter. When do you think we'll be officially out of the playoff race?
Yesterday.
Okay, you didn't have us in the playoff race.
I didn't. Oh.
Realistically,
the bottom of this division is bad enough they could be in it till the end.
It's very possible. I think I was going to say
March is probably
with the end of March, so we have like another 6 weeks until we're officially out. I can't wait to see what I'm more excited about this season after seeing how the Ducks are playing so far. I mean, I hope they turn it around and make this season fun, obviously, but I'm really stoked on the trade deadline this year, given that there's an expansion draft after that. That's going to be phenomenal this season. Regardless if you're a Ducks fan or not, you should be excited about those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a blast. I heard something, I think it was on Puck Soup, where they're saying they might push the entry draft to next year and do two separate entry drafts next year, one for this year's players and one for next year's players.
The hell?
Yeah, it'd be real weird. But if nothing else, we're going to get an expansion draft, and I'm very excited about that because that's going to be fun.
Yeah, all the GMs are swearing up and down they're not going to be abused this time. We'll see.
Well, yeah, exactly. we know how much we can trust them at their word.
Yeah, we've seen it all. But you got anything else you want to chat about tonight, man? You want to call it a show?
I just want to say real quick, the trade for everybody who's putting it in there is, and I pissed Eddie off with this the other day, is trade Rico and Shattenkirk for PK Subban. That's the trade I want.
Why did that make Eddie mad? I would love to hear that.
Because PK Subban's bad.
Yeah, he's not good. Yeah, he's not good anymore.
And he's got a fat contract.
It's like how Erik Karlsson hasn't been the same since he got injured. I saw on Twitter, I think, like Radek Bonk's like fake account. The guy actually talks about hockey all the time. It's a great account. But he has a good point. Like, Karlsson used to be good, really, really good, until he got hurt. But Subban, I don't know what happened. He was really good, too. And then all of a sudden just wasn't.
It's the same thing that's happened with Karlsson. He's not as effective as a skater as he is anymore.
Mm.
You know, and so much of his play was dictated, you know, by his ability to skate. You know, he used it in a different way than Karlsson did.
Yeah, very much so.
But he was still using his skating, and that, you know, that really is what powered a big part of his game. And, you know, he's just had an injury. Injuries have taken a toll on his body, and it happens. You know, the dude logged big minutes on teams that were making runs for a while. He's been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, everyone forgets, you know, like, he's been around for a long time. Like, he was on the Habs a long time ago.
I think he came into the Habs when he was like 20, 21, and he was like almost walked in as a top four blue liner for them. Like, he was so good when he was young.
He was a killer, and we all made fun of that trade when Nashville and Subban trade happened. We all made fun of that, of course.
I still think it is perfectly fine to say that it was a bad trade that has worked out very well.
Yeah, it kind of has.
You know what I mean? Like, I do think it's one of those things where you're like, ooh, I don't know that that's really getting the most value for a Norris caliber defenseman, but they definitely seem to have gotten the better end of it, so... Sometimes you get a little lucky on stuff like that.
When you're a GM, sometimes you know, you can get away with making a bad deal, and that's just not something we've seen happen too often here in Anaheim. But
we would have to make deals to begin with.
There it is. We never do until the off season, it feels like. But that's it for us tonight, everybody. Thanks for tuning in after such a tough game. Jay and I will be gone Saturday. It's Steven and Eddie, or as people have come to know you guys, Eeyore and Droopy, are back on the show on Saturday night after the game against who they play on Saturday. I said it earlier. Now I already forgot because my brain just turned off. Steven, help me. Don't let me sit here and just figure it out. God. They play Minnesota again. How did I not know that? I should have just realized they played Minnesota again. So the boys will be back on Saturday night after the game against Minnesota. Until then, we'll talk to you guys on Twitter, and we'll see you later.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Wayday starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your car.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.